I'm Heidi Holton, and you are listening to People Powered KAXC. I am joined this morning by Charlie Mitchell, our phenology coordinator. Hey, Charlie.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, so one of the things that KAXC does is this Season Watch newsletter. You weekly put out information for folks that is kind of this snapshot of the changes in nature. And the thing that I love the most about it is that I don't have to be an expert. I just need to be a little bit curious about what's going on in the world.
Absolutely. Curiosity really is the key for phenology and for a lot of other things. Yeah, I love that you don't really need to know much up front. It just requires going outside, taking a look, and enjoying yourself.
Yeah, and ask mm-hmm. some questions. You know, so one of the mm-hmm. things that in this newsletter that we have heard from lots of folks they love the most is this watch list. So each week, you're telling us what to be looking for in nature.
Yeah, so it's a curated look at what to look for in nature each week. I break it up by different areas. So when you're on your commute, look for these things. If you're in the forest, look here. If you're on or near the water, look for X, Y, or Z. And then generally around town. Yeah, I try to get a little bit of everything in there and just help people along and give them some ideas of what to look for. It can be hard to know depending on the season.
The thing I love about watching the seasons like this and getting this newsletter every week is that it's not even just about nature, but it's like slowing yourself down.
Yes.
And it's noticing and thinking about something so that you are curious enough to ask a question or, you know, pay attention to it. My life gets going too fast with everything and I don't do this very often. And I think phenology is a way to do that.
It absolutely is. And that's one of the things that I've really appreciated about studying phenology since I've joined KAXC is that it does force you to slow down. You're not going to see the first butterfly of the spring if your mind is on your grocery list. You have to be kind of present and actually looking. It is a really great mindfulness practice, and it's really, I don't know, it just makes me feel more calm and more grounded and more a part of the world that I'm living in.
So we're, you know, in May now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a busy time. It's really easy to not be paying attention, even though it's finally really nice out and things are popping out there. Mm-hmm. Let's kind of start what we should start looking for.
Yeah, May is a bit of a seasonal sprint. Things happen so fast. I know John Latimer in April and May, he's out twice a week, every week, looking for changes. So some of the things that I'm going to be focusing on in this first week of May, on my commute, I really love looking at the treetops. This is a really gorgeous, delicate time of year when some trees are budding, some trees are just pondering leafing out, some trees have flowers. And so in the kind of gray, bare branches that we're used to in winter, all of a sudden there are just these brushes of colors. Red on the birches, some green on the aspens, some yellows. And yeah, it's just a great little herald of things to come. Once we get to the summer, it becomes kind of a greenscape. And right now, there are just a lot of different colors you can just start to pick out in those
right.
treetops.
That's funny, because I was just saying this week, like, I cannot wait till when you come down the road to my house, it starts to green up, because it feels like, ugh, it's still kind of brown, and I just really want some green. But I'm maybe not paying attention to what I should be paying attention to, because definitely stuff is happening out there.
Yeah, and, you know, the silver maples, I think, are finished flowering now, at least in my area. But there's been a pop of color in the trees for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And yet again, it's just this looking carefully brings you so much more joy. I know since I started looking at phenology, I don't like winter. I don't like the cold. Growing up, winter for me lasted from late October until sometimes like early May, sometimes April, depending on the season. And now that I'm looking more closely and doing phenology, spring starts for me in January when the chickadees start singing their Phoebe song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's given me so many more months of enjoyable time outside just because I can see these little teasers of my favorite months far before they're here.
I think one of the first times I heard John Latimer talk about wintertime and take a look at the snow for the snow fleas, I was like, mm-hmm. what?
Yeah.
And it looked to me like a gravy that was pepper flakes in it, you know, and I didn't realize, I mean, sometimes it's not the snow fleas, but it's some of the things coming from the trees. But it's mm-hmm. like, it just didn't dawn on me to pay attention to that.
Yeah, and in the depths of winter, you're still getting, you know, great horned owls breeding and starting to nest as early as late January. And there's stuff going on all year round. The outdoors fuels so much of my energy and so much of my joy. And it's allowed me more months of the year where I get to feel that.
Do you think John Latimer knows how much he affects our, how we feel about the world? I don't think he gets that, does he?
I don't think he does. Yeah. I mean, 2 years ago was his 40th anniversary on air studying phenology. And one of the things that he said that really stuck with me, well, two of them were, I had no idea of the impact and I'm just a guy who likes nature. That really sums it up.
Wow. Why don't we have that on a t-shirt?
Right.
I'm just a guy who likes nature.
Right.
I mean, he's so much more than that, but it's true.
But he is just a guy who likes nature and decided to share his passion with other people. You know, his background, I think, was in engineering in college. He doesn't have a biology background. You don't need to be an expert. You just have to write it down. Suddenly, he's invited to Harvard to share his data set. The University of Minnesota has his data sets. And him sharing it with all of us and with so many students has made so many of us connect, care for, and be inspired to protect the environment around us. Anyways, I could talk about John Latimer all day.
I know, the Pied Piper of nature. So I say people just follow him around. Okay, so I'm driving along. I should start looking at the tree tops and see what I'm seeing changing there. Sometimes that's also where you're going to see an eagle or something else happening.
Yep. It is the kind of last couple weeks of being able to see owls and raptors and other birds perched in those bare branches once the leaves come out.
Yeah.
It's all secrets up there. Yeah.
So what else are you paying attention to at the beginning of May?
Lower down in the forest, one of my favorite plants is the eastern leatherwood. It's kind of low-growing shrub. It has these kind of knobbly twigs. They look like almost a little arthritic, where every spot where the leaves come out is kind of knobbly, and then it takes a turn, and then there's another knobbly. And so in early May, obviously depending on the year and depending on the weather, they may be flowering, they may be done flowering. They have these beautiful yellow flowers that emerge from this extremely fuzzy brown bud. They emerged, I think, in mid-April this year in 2025. Right now, they're already going into leaf out. And so as the flowers are kind of dying away, you'll see these green leaves starting to emerge also from within that same bud. Fun.
Where's the term leatherwood come from? Is anything like that?
Absolutely. So the bark on this tree is really strong and really flexible, and so you can use it like leather. The twigs themselves are also very strong and flexible. You can tie them into a knot without breaking the twig. Yeah, it's a very useful little plant.
So it's
very beautiful.
It's low?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the ones in the forest near where I live, I'd say their max height is probably 6 feet.
Okay.
But most of them are 3, probably. And they're great for early season pollinators. And I always see them, like those buds starting to get larger and larger during maple syrup season.
Nice.
And then another yellow flower that I really love is near water. Anywhere where there's fresh moving water, you'll see some marsh marigolds popping up. And those just form these beautiful blankets of yellow in early spring. And so where I live down near Stillwater, Minnesota, they started flowering already in early May. And then probably up here, they're just starting to come up and start budding. But those are definitely good ones to watch for. And then another yellow flower, sometimes white, daffodils. In my area, they're already blooming. Up here, they're just starting to emerge. And daffodils are just such a beautiful sign of spring, I think, that we can all get to see. They're planted in a lot of places. Also a very recognizable one. One thing, if you're going to be planting... Ooh, some nice thunder.
Yeah.
One thing, if you're going to be planting daffodils, is that if you want to help the pollinators, be sure you get a relatively simple cultivar. The ones that have like a lot of the extra petals and showiness have been bred more for their looks than for their value for pollinators. And so a lot of times the pollinators don't get particularly good nectar or pollen from them.
Okay. Tell me again what we should...
Look for a relatively simple... bare bones daffodils, the ones you think of like in a clip art or something.
Okay.
They also make ones that have fancy petals and are super showy, which are great, but less so for the pollinators.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I have for the first week of May.
That's
but there's
great.
Plenty more out there to see if you go out and get curious.
We are talking about Season Watch, watching what's changing per season. And if you sign up for that Season Watch newsletter that Charlie Mitchell puts out every week, you get this weekly watch list and you hear it in our podcast and on the air. Charlie, thanks for being here.
Thank you.